Scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, in just a few verses, 13, 14, and 15. Chapter 2 of Luke, 13 through 15. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the word of God for the people of God. So about 10 days ago, December 3rd, 7:30 in the morning, I looked outside and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The sky was on fire. It was as orange and red as I have ever seen a morning sky. Sometimes you get some wonderful, beautiful sunsets that just kind of inspire you. Very rarely do, at least me, do I notice a sunrise. But this sunrise was just inspiring. And so I called out to my wife, Becky. I said, "Becky, you have got to see this." And so she came and she saw it and she agreed with me. It was just phenomenal. I don't know if that rings a bell, if you noticed that back a couple of weeks ago, but it was just incredible. I've got pictures on my phone. I can show you later. But whether it's an amazing sunrise or a gorgeous sunset or maybe a full moon rising or some northern lights that we might see in the sky coming up in another week or so, is up in the sky, the two largest planets in our solar system, Jupiter and Saturn, are going to come very close to aligning and are going to be an incredibly bright star in the sky. And the last time they were this close was 800 years ago. And so it's just, there's just some things all around us that are incredible. And it doesn't have to be in nature. Some basketball player can make a three-pointer at the buzzer and win the game, and that's inspiring to us. Some baseball player can make a great catch at the wall, and that can be exciting for us. So there's things all around us that can just thrill us and make us go, "Wow, you've got to see this." I have a fond memories of my childhood around Christmas time, where mom and dad would load all the kids in the station wagon and take us to Christmas Eve service. And then after the Christmas Eve service, we wouldn't take the short way home, we would take the long way home. And we would drive around and see all the Christmas lights. And how amazing that was. All of our noses would be pressed up against the windows looking out at the Christmas lights and the decorations. Is just a It's just wonderful to see. And that tradition still holds in our family today. We still drive around and see the Christmas lights and still awed by them. Lots of wow moments in our life if we pay attention to what's going on, if we notice that there are things that can get us excited, that can thrill us. And the same thing holds true for the Christmas season. Around the birth of Jesus, shepherds were out at night watching over the sheep, as was just their custom, as an ordinary, everyday, nighttime experience, until something happened and the sky lit up and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were wowed. You got to see this. And so they had an experience of that wow that comes at Christmas time. The wise men had the same thing. They saw this bright star in the sky. They were students of the sky, and they knew that this was something special and something different. And so they followed where it was leading. They were wowed by that. So this wonderful, amazing gift that we have of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas time is one of those kinds of events that's meant to excite us and to thrill us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 in the Message translation puts it this way: "From the very first day, we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears. We saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you, you got to see this. When Jesus was born, the whole world finally came face to face with God, with the God of wow. And there's a more spiritual term for that wow than wow. It's that spiritual term would be glory, and that's what we're looking at today. God's glory is the wow in our life, the wow in our spiritual, eternal life. The Christmas story is the story of God's glory, and God's glory makes us go not only wow, but makes us want to say to others, hey, you've got to see this. God has always made himself known to us. He's always revealed himself in the glory of the world around us. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen. But when Jesus was born, it wasn't just a general revelation of the fact that there is a God who exists and who's put all this beauty here for us. When Jesus was born, it was a very specific revelation of God himself. When Jesus was born, we get to see God in person. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 puts it this way, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. When Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the world sees God face to face. Did you ever see somebody in person, some celebrity, somebody famous? And I don't mean just maybe up on the big screen, although that wouldn't be in person, but I don't, you know, up on the big stage. Those people that sometimes we come to enjoy in their field, maybe it's a sports person, or maybe it's an actor, or maybe it's a, I don't know, there could be some people who get excited about politicians, I don't know. But, you know, somebody famous and somebody whose greatness inspires you, and then you get to meet them. You ever get to shake their hand, or maybe take a picture of them, or take a selfie with them? That can be thrilling. I've done a little exercise every now and then just to write down the names of the people in my mind who are famous, and who are who've been exciting for me to meet and shake their hand and talk with in person. It's a whole a thrilling, exciting experience to get to meet in person those people that we think are amazing or great. And so Christmas is like that. It's that you got to see this moment. You've got to see this God who put everything here for us. You've got to see this God who so loved the world, who gave us this amazing gift of light and love. And so the question then is, okay, we get it. there's a wowness, an awesomeness around Christmas because God shows up. But what makes it so awesome? Why do we go wow at Christmas time? Why do we want to say to people, oh, you've got to see this when it comes to the birth of our Savior? Charles Wesley, who lived in England in the 1700s, was the brother of John Wesley. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. And Charles Wesley wrote over 6,000 hymns. And you know some of them. We sang one just a little while ago. Hark the herald angels sing. You know, Christ the Lord is risen today. You know, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. You know, Jesus, lover of my soul. You know, come thou long expected Jesus. You know, and can it be? Those are all songs written by Charles Wesley, the brother of John. And in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I think Charles captures the idea of the wow at Christmas. He helps us understand what this glory of God is all about. And each of the three verses captures some aspect of the glory of God. And so we're going to take a clue from that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Three clues, actually, one in each verse. Kind of help us get a better understanding of why do we wow at Christmas time? What is it about God's glory that excites us, that thrills us? And in the first verse, as you know, is this phrase, God and sinners reconciled. You remember that, how that goes. We sang that a minute ago. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's one of the things about Christmas that makes us go, wow. See, God is God, and we're not. He's holy. We're not. He's pure. We're corrupt. God is love. We're selfish. God is righteous. We're sinful. Romans chapter 3:23 puts it this way, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We might not like that. God is God, we're not. God is pure, we're not, you know. But that's just the fact, and that's the truth. And there's a huge disconnect between a holy God and sinful human beings. We're kind of on the opposite ends of the moral spectrum, like light and darkness. It's kind of like that childhood poem. You remember how it goes, what are little girls made of? Little girls are made of sugar and spice and all things nice. That's what little girls are made of. What are little boys made of? Frogs and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. Well, it's kind of like that with God. What is God made of? He's made of holiness and righteousness and goodness and light and love. And what are we made of? We're made of selfishness and sin and darkness and death. But the glory of God brings us together. What happens at Christmas time is God and sinners are reconciled. That's part of the wow factor of Christmas. You've got to see this. The birth of Jesus Christ connects God and human beings. Christmas is the way that divinity and humanity are joined. The perfect, sinless creator with the corrupt, sinful creatures are reunited in the birth of Jesus Christ. Part of the wow in our world around Christmas time is all the decorations, all the lights, the twinkling, sparkling lights that light up the nighttime. I hope you've had a chance to drive around a little bit. We're planning to do that one night, go out and just kind of focus on all that glitters in the nighttime. You know, that doesn't happen unless somebody's taken the time to put the lights out. If the lights stay in the box, then it might as well be the middle of August and not December 25th. Somebody has to take the time to pull the lights out of the box and put them up so people can see them. But then they also need to do one other thing. If the lights are up but they're not plugged in, what good is that going to do? And see, that's what happens at Christmas time. God pulls this great light out of the box and he puts it on display and plugs it in Bethlehem for the whole world to see, because he wants us to know that he loves us, and that now in that light that's shining in Bethlehem, that light that's shining in the darkness, now God and sinners are reconciled, brought back together. There's a reunion, there's a relationship that can happen because of what is shining in the night in Bethlehem. The second verse, there's a beautiful passage that Charles Wesley wrote. It says this, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. You see, God is immortal. God is invisible. That's another hymn, immortal, invisible. But God is spirit and eternal. And he's inaccessible. He's unavailable. He's unapproachable by our human efforts. But you got to see this. In the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas, Jesus puts flesh and blood. He puts bone and hair on God, and he brings God from heaven to earth in a tangible way, in a way that we can relate to him, in a way that, yes, he's deity, but he's incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you got to see this. And we have beheld his, what's the word? Glory. John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see what had been invisible, what had been experienceable, is that a word? What had been unapproachable for us as human beings is now visible, is now tangible, in a way that a mother can hold him, in a way that shepherds can adore him, in a way that wise men can bring gifts to him. Hail the incarnate deity. C.S. Lewis, some argue the greatest theologian of the 20th century and maybe ever, loved the Christmas story, loved the birth of Christ. In fact, he argued that the one grand miracle of Christianity is not the crucifixion or the resurrection, but Christ's birth. He saw every other miracle in Scripture as preparing for, as demonstrating, or resulting from the incarnation. He wrote this, "The Christian story is precisely the story of one grand miracle, the Christian assertion being that what is beyond all space and time, what is uncreated and eternal, came into nature, into human nature, descended into his own universe, and then rose again, bringing nature up with him. And it is precisely one grand miracle. And if you take that away, there's nothing specifically Christian left." It makes us go, wow. Veiled in flesh, now we can see the Godhead. And so hail, praise, we can worship him, we can connect with him, the incarnate deity. Verse 3 brings out one other aspect of the glory of God and the wow factor at Christmas time. And that's in that passage of that verse that says, "Light and life to all he brings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth. Born to give us second birth." Light and life to all he brings. I don't know in my lifetime anyway that there's ever been a time where the world needed more light than in 2020. And how weird is that? That the year 2020, which, you know, in our vernacular stands for perfect vision, 2020. How weird is that, that we have so much darkness that surrounds us, sickness and death. How much we need to see the light of life. Light and life to all he brings. The birth of Jesus Christ takes what is destined for darkness and death and transforms it to light and life. You got to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says it this way, "We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing," what's the word? Glory. All throughout the Christmas story, the glory of the angels shine on the shepherds. The angels come singing, "Glory to God in the highest." All the Scripture points to how important that event, the birth of Christ, is, how it reflects the glory of God, how we can see God in the glory of the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Frederick Buechner, who is another theologian, a Christian author, devotional writer, he said this. He says, glory is what God looks like when, for the time being, all we have to see with is our eyes. So, some people, when they see Christmas, they see the tinsel, they see the lights twinkling, they see the decorations, they see, and they're excited about that. There's something special about Christmas holiday decorations. And so when they see with these eyes, that's what they see. But sometimes they miss seeing the glory in the story of Christmas because they don't have the glasses that you need. So some people see things with their regular glasses. Some people see Christmas like this, with glasses that look like this. And if you could see what I'm seeing right now with these glasses on, you'd be amazed. I mean, you've got to see this. Because with these glasses on, as I look at the lights around the Advent candle, as I look at the lights on the tree, I'm seeing a special effect that you just got to see. Wow, it's amazing with these glasses on. And see, that's how we, as believers, as persons of faith, see the manger. We see the manger with these eyes of faith, and so in it we can see God. We can see His glory. We can see Him and be wowed and say to others around us, hey, you got to see this. Here, look the way I look at it. Look with the eyes of faith. Trust that God loved the world so much that He gave us this gift in the manger. And when we look at it that way, it gives us goosebumps. It doesn't just put a smile on our face. It just doesn't get us excited and thrilled about looking at all the wonderful decorations. It actually gives our soul goosebumps because we see God. My prayer for all of us this Christmas time is that we'll continue to look into the manger with eyes of faith and be wowed by what we see. And then say to those around us, you got to see this. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Loving and glorious God, we are here this morning because we love you. That's what our worship is about. We sing your praises. We offer you our hearts in prayer, and we bow down before you in adoration. We pray that adoration, that praise, that worship will be a continual experience of our hearts, day in and day out. We will see your glory. We'll feel goosebumps in our hearts. And not only will we praise and thank you, but we'll tell others, listen, you have to see this. Help our faith. Help the eyes of our faith see Christmas new and afresh this year in ways that lift us up, in ways that bring even more light and love into our hearts. And then help that light and love spill out from our lives in the gracious way that we relate to others. That's our prayer this morning in Christ's name. Amen.